Hey everybody, this is Jamie Du.
And I'm Joe Fondo.
And once again, we welcome you to the Towel and Basin Podcast.
And today is a little different. Jamie is going to be talking to David Platt.
Yeah, he was on campus, preached in chapel for us. Obviously, he preached on missions, which we were grateful to hear from him on. So we just sat down with him real quick and talked to him about why missions and why specifically places like the 1040 window and then how to use this city well in our students' preparation.
It was a good interview. So here is Jamie and David.
Well, welcome back to the Towel and Basin. This is Jamie Du, the podcast from NOBTS and Level College, where we talk about all things Christianity and related to especially to being a servant for Christ. And we cover a lot of different types of topics in this podcast. Today, my guest is Dr. David Platt, and someone very well known to the Southern Baptist constituency and to the family here at NOBTS and Level College. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It is so good to be here.
Yeah, well, we love having you here at Chapel. You're super well-received, and really appreciate you taking the time, especially, as I mentioned, walking over with the students at the end to encourage them. It means the world to us. Tell us real quick about McLean Bible Church and your role there, and how long you've been there and how that's going.
So I am a lead pastor at McLean Bible Church. It's in Metro Washington, D.C., so technically Northern Virginia, but then we have campuses just kind of all around Metro D.C. So I've been there 2 years, and yeah, it's a unique church. I mean, being in that city, we have over 100 nations represented in the church, so it's just very multi-ethnic, and so the opportunities to make disciples among the nations right there, and then people who are oftentimes going from that church through all kinds of different jobs, government and otherwise, to different places in the world to make disciples among the nations. It's pretty awesome. So I love pastoring, and I love pastoring that church.
You mentioned in chapel that recently, in recent weeks, you've had sort of an Acts 13 moment where you have spent time praying and fasting and God calling out people. Tell us about that, what that's been like as a church.
Yeah, so when I see Acts 13, the church at Antioch, worshiping, fasting, praying, and the Spirit setting apart Saul and Barnabas, I just think, why would we not ask the Lord to do the same thing? I mean, I'm praying all the time, Matthew 9, 37, 38, asking the Lord to send out laborers in the harvest field. So for us as a church to, and I want to do this periodically, once or twice a year, where we just set aside some time and we fast as a church. We fasted one day on a Friday that night. We gathered we do a late night prayer periodically. So we did one from 8 to midnight and we just pray for the nations and put our lives on the table and say, God, who are you leading to go? We kind of set the stage for that one Sunday, and then the next Sunday said, okay, this Sunday we're going to ask who might the Lord be leading to go. And so at the end of that sermon, like part of the invitation was asking people to stand if they think the Lord may be leading them to go where the gospel hasn't gone. And so in all of our services, you got people standing of all ages.
Yeah.
And then we begin a process with them to then discern, okay, when, where, how is the Lord in definitely doing this? And so, yeah, I just think,
It's important to break the rhythms of the habits of worship and do something like
that. Yes, like in any church, I'm not saying I know for sure exactly what the Spirit of God is going to do, but if you've got 100 people filled with the Spirit of God, I'm guessing with 2+ billion people in the world who've never heard the gospel, that he's going to call somebody out.
Right.
If you do that continually and kind of sow that seed just to see what the Spirit of God does.
I mentioned in chapel when I was introducing you that one of the things that God has done through you over the last, I don't know, decade and a half, 2 decades, however long your ministry's been so far.
Really old, man.
By the way, I don't know if you remember, I remember you preaching at a Cross Point youth camp years ago, and I brought my middle school youth group.
Are you serious?
I did, yeah.
1998, man.
Yeah, and I can remember all of our students saying, man, that guy quotes a lot of scripture. They loved it, though. It was fantastic, so it was impressive.
Even 4th through 8th graders sports camp.
Yeah,
man.
So I imagine it's longer than a decade now, so I don't know how, we won't reflect on how long that's been. But anyway, over the last decades, God has used you in a unique way to really call out the called from Southern Baptist churches and really in evangelical churches to go to the nations. And so just to throw this question out for you, why? Why international missions? Why do you beat that drum the way that you do?
For me, it all goes back to when I was in college, and I shared about this in chapel, just being in a a breakout session of a college conference, and the leader just opened up God's word and walked from Genesis to Revelation and showed God's passion, zeal for his glory among all the nations. And it just, it rocked my world. Like, I just thought, this changes everything, because if that's what God is passionate about, then that's what I should be passionate about. And not just me, I think we as the church should be passionate about. Now, obviously that plays out in different ways in different people's lives. Like, and that was kind of the thing. I thought, well, okay, that means if I have a passion for God's glory among the nations, then I should be a missionary. And I've tried on a couple of different occasions, and the Lord's just not called me to the one-way ticket yet. I'm still, wondering if that's going to happen at some point. But I see it all over God's word. I mean, his goal in history is to make his glory known and enjoyed among all the nations. So I want that to be what my life is about. And I want to help do what that brother did for me in that college conference, like to open up the word. And I want to do this as a pastor. I want to show this, not just for like a mission sermon once in a while, like week after week, to show that God's created us for his glory, that this is really, really good for us. And it's not just for us, it's for all people and all peoples everywhere. So I want to show that as a pastor. And then whether it's through writing or I'm traveling, preaching somewhere, like I just think, you know, about how pivotal that was for somebody just to open the Bible and show that to me on that day. I pray the Lord might use his word in that way through my mouth.
Now, again, picking up on something you just mentioned in chapel, specifically though, when you think about doing God's work, being on mission, reaching the lost, in chapel you just talked about how it's important to think through strategically the where of that, because especially for our students, not just here at NOBTS and Level College, but really at all of our schools, it's easy to come in to seminary with the dream of getting the job in your own culture, perhaps even your own community, and being very comfortable there. Even though there's difficulties in ministry and there's hardships in ministry, still the comforts that are afforded to us in say, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, versus an Afghanistan. Why there? Why go Afghanistan? Why go India and Nepal versus a Mississippi or Alabama?
And I think this is the thrust of the Great Commission. I think this is the thrust of the New Testament, that the church must always keep pressing on where the gospel is not yet gone. And so there will always be needs wherever we are in the world.
Right.
But when we look at places where the gospel has gone by God's grace, we must be working to keep getting the gospel where it hasn't gone. So that's why Afghanistan, that's why Nepal, because there are over 2 billion people in the world, like thousands upon thousands of people, groups who have little to no knowledge of the gospel. And Jesus has told us, make disciples among all of them. So obviously you can't do that individually, but as a church, we are, thrust of scripture is to work to see the gospel go where it hasn't gone. And that's what's so dangerous, as we were talking about in chapel, like, because we do a lot of missions work that's actually in places where the gospel has gone. So it's not that, again, there's not needs there, but we've got to open our eyes to, there are so many people who have little to no knowledge of the gospel, and we have been given a God-given responsibility to get the gospel to them, to work together to do that. And this is for all of us. And there's so many different ways this plays out in all of our lives. But this is for all of us to own together.
So on that note, as our students come to a school like New Orleans or any one of the other schools, but especially I think of ours here, for my students here, as they're preparing for gospel ministry, at a school like this, in a city like this, with all that we have culturally, all that we have, the international influences and such, you studied here. What would you say to my students in terms of maximizing their preparation while they're here so that it's not just an academic experience? How do you use this city to prepare?
Absolutely. I would say, I just love the question, because I learned so much in these classrooms on this campus, like so much that I'm so thankful for. This city was also a massive classroom for me. Like, I learned so much in the city, just doing ministry in the French Quarter, doing ministry as part of a local church here. Like, I mean, I don't want to say it was as much. I don't even know how to compare them, but right. I learned so much in the city of New Orleans. So I would say here or wherever God has somebody, right. but specifically here, like, and I'm always saying, I'm always encouraging people, and this is what I try to do in my own life, like, make disciples wherever you live, and then make disciples wherever God leads, and do it with a focus among the nations in both. So mm-hmm. I just think, so for, yeah, it would be tragic, I think that's the right word, for a student to come to seminary or to come to New Orleans and learn all these truths of the gospel in a classroom and be in the city that is in such need of the gospel and not be on the streets making that gospel known. Like, this is, and this is where, yeah, all these truths in the classroom just come to life, and we're stretched, we're challenged, and the opportunity to do that literally among the nations that God, by His sovereign grace, is bringing here. Like, right. there's a port here where He is bringing unreached people groups here. Like, right. you don't even have to get on a plane to go. Like, it's right here. And so to maximize that, to steward that, this city. And I saw it. Like, I saw some people around me who were in school and just didn't engage the city. And I'm not saying I did that perfectly by any means, but I wanted to. I tried. And that's, the Lord taught me so much through that. And I hope He used my life for His glory here in this unique time of preparation. So to make disciples among the nations in New Orleans. And then I'm always encouraging, especially if there's possibly, I mean, school is a unique time, but with a fall break, a spring break, a summer break, a Christmas break, like, look for opportunities to go to the nations during that right. time and steward those kind of opportunities that are uniquely there right now in a way that hopefully will set up a pattern in your life. And maybe God will use that at some point to lead you to take a one-way ticket.
Amen. Well, thanks for speaking to us today, and may God continue to add His grace and blessing to your life and ministry with us.
Thanks. Pure joy.
Hey, everybody. This is Jamie and Joe again.
If you like this podcast, would you leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts? That helps other people find it.
And if you have any questions, we'd love to hear about them. Just go to jamiedew.com/questions and send them in that way, and we'll take a look at the most frequently asked questions and give them a shot.